This morning, we'd like to say good morning to each and every one of you. We greet you with the words, praise the Lord. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I don't know about you, but I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I choose to rejoice in the goodness of our God. I choose to rejoice in the grace and in the mercy of our God. It's a wonderful day to give God glory, a wonderful day to give God praise, and we thank you for choosing to worship with us here this morning at the Nazarene Church. And we've come for no other reason than to bless the name of the Lord. We come to give him glory, come to give him honor, because I found out that he's worthy of all the praise, and he's worthy at all times. Even when it's raining outside, he's still worthy to be praised. Even when the sun is shining, he's still worthy to be praised. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. In other words, all day long, our God is worthy to be praised. And I wish I had somebody just to help me give him glory this morning. No matter where you are, you may be in your home, maybe sitting at your dining room table, maybe in your car, wherever you are, can you just take a moment and give God glory? Hallelujah. Our God is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Worthy to be praised. And this song says, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice just to worship you. And today we want to worship him the way the Bible says, and that's in spirit and in truth. Come on, help me worship him. Hallelujah.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Come on and lift him, yeah.
I love you, Lord.
Put on your garments of praise.
I lift my voice.
We've come to worship thee, Lord.
To worship thee.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul.
And rejoice.
Rejoice.
Take joy, my King.
Take joy, my King.
In what you hear.
Yeah.
Your name.
We exalt thee.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt thee, O Lord. Bless the name of Jesus.
Church family, our scripture is found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. My goodness, that's a... Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once born again, a few of your children are saying thank you. Thank you for being the light of the world. The devil is getting busy. It's amazing how when the storm is shining and the lightning is striking all over the world, you bring peace. We thank you for coming into the room. Wherever we're at right now, Heavenly Father, we just ask that your spirit lead, rule, and guide. Let us get a little pep in our step when we think about what you've already done. Let us get excited about what you're about to do. Now, I know the devil is shooting doubt darts all over the place, telling we can't do this, we got a pandemic, but Heavenly Father, it's amazing when you come into the room with us and you fill us with your love and your grace and mercy. We didn't deserve half the stuff that we had, but you gave it to us anyway. So Heavenly Father, we're stepping out on faith because you brought us thus this far. So when we look around, we see how far you have brought us, we say, thank you, Lord. And we see the sun shine and we feel your spirit leading, guide us, Heavenly Father. We just ask that you talk to the leaders. Let your children be leaders. Because even though the leaders are not acting like leaders, we're your children. Sometimes a child has to lead an adult to do what he's supposed to do. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you touch us, Lord, in a mighty, mighty way. Now, Heavenly Father, bless every man who's going to speak your word today. We ask you to put your anointing upon the message that Reverend Rascal is going to give us today. I know that you have prepared him and prepared everybody across this nation so that when they hear your word, because we always wonder, is there a word from the Lord? Once it's given, let us get a little giddy up in our step. Let us be proud and just say, tell everybody about your goodness. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with this service. Bless in Jesus' in holy name. Amen.
Praise God. I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. And to God be the glory for all the things he has done. Again, we want to say welcome, and we thank you for joining us today for our worship here at the Nazarene Baptist Church. Yesterday in our city, we did experience another tragedy. And this morning, we want to lift those families in prayer. But we know that we serve the God who hears and answers prayer. And so we're just praying for strength and for comfort and for peace for those families. You all, we're so thankful to God to have Sister Kim Hinton come to worship with us this morning. Amen. As we thank God for Kim. And Kim is experiencing some health challenges of her own, but she's still serving God, still singing praises to his name in the midst of it all. And so we are so thankful that she's here to worship with us this morning. Can you all help me right where you are? Thank God for Sister Kimberly Jo Hinton.
God is awesome. Thank you, Elder Jr. Blessing the Lord yet at all times, and his praises continually in my mouth. Pastor Rascal. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm yet trusting and hopeful because I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, and when I come through, this will yet be my song. I'll keep praising my Savior. Oh, the day long. And you keep looking up. I don't know what you may be going through, but this is my
God. Again, let's thank God for Sister Kimberly Hinton. Can you all help me receive our pastor as he comes to share the word of God with us today, Pastor Rasko? God bless you.
Sister Kim, know for a fact you've got the Nazarene family lifting and holding you in prayer. Amen. Amen. To Dr. Candace, God bless you. To each and every one of you, how good it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Dwight read our scripture today from Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16. And there you will find these words. Jesus was speaking, and he said to his disciples, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Because of that, you need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. There's a term that teachers use as it relates to growing their students. It's a term called gradual release. It's the idea of a teacher that stands before students, and that teacher does it. We kind of break it down like this: I do. We do, you do. I do it, you get to watch me. Then we do it together. And then you get to do it, and I'll watch you. There is a gradual release. The 16th verse of Matthew chapter 10 is a text that really doesn't make any sense unless you look at it in context of the previous chapters. And when you look in the previous chapters, what you're going to see is that there's a whole lot of people, and all of them experience some kind of crisis. Many of them, they are facing something that they didn't ask for. They're facing something that they can't get rid of. They're facing something that they cannot control. They are, all of them, they are a common crisis, but they're different. They're different. They don't all have the same kind. Some are sick, but they don't have the same sicknesses. Some have burdens, but their burdens are not all the same size. And you and I, we can relate to that because we're all having to deal with one thing or another as it relates to the pandemic. But many of us, it's affecting a lot of us a lot of different ways. Some of us have the pandemic, but we don't have a problem missing a check. But there are other folks that are not just missing a check, but they've been laid off or lost a job. Well, we all have to deal with some things, but we're not always dealing with the same thing, the same kind of way. Or we don't have to always, they're not always dealing with something in the same season. Somebody suggested that when it comes to storms, you're either going into one, you just came out of one, or you're in one right now. But all of us got some trouble or trials that we've got to face somewhere, sometime. And what's exciting about the context of what happens in Matthew chapters 8 through 10 is that what you see there is that even though there's common crisis, there's an uncommon cure. There's an uncommon cure. I'm going to call Jesus this uncommon cure because when they look at him, they have to say, wait a minute, that's not the doctor. That's Jesus the carpenter. That's not just Jesus the carpenter, but he's the carpenter from Nazareth. He's not the kind of one that you would expect to do the stuff that he's doing. There's a common crisis, but the cure is coming from an uncommon place. This man, Jesus, this man, Mary's baby, Joseph's baby, this man, Jesus, born in Bethlehem from the, this man, Jesus, he's an uncommon one who's now teaching in the synagogues. He's now preaching. He's now sharing. He's the uncommon one, but yet what seems to be taking place is that over and over again, people who end up meeting this uncommon person now find themselves, because you see, Jesus, this Christ, Jesus the Christ, when he runs into crisis, it seems like he always wins. Whenever he faces the crisis, he always wins. Matter of fact, in the 9th chapter of Matthew, it begins with Jesus celebrating and acknowledging the fact that there are some friends that are bringing a friend to Jesus. That's how Matthew 9 begins. You've got four friends bringing a paralyzed friend to Jesus. This man is paralyzed, and when Jesus sees that, he gets excited, right, Resi? He's excited, first of all, by the fact that you can find enough friends to help you get to Jesus. And I'm telling you, that's a good thing, because sometimes you, if you tell the truth, you really didn't get to Jesus by yourself. Sometimes God has to use some other folk to help you get, because you can't do it sometimes by yourself. But Jesus pauses and brings acknowledgement, and he puts the spotlight on the fact that the friends bring a friend to Jesus. And the text says, and when he saw their faith, he looked down at the one who was paralyzed, and he says to the one who was paralyzed, your sins are forgiven. Now, you got to be careful, super saints. This does not necessarily mean that everybody who's sick has done something, and therefore the sickness is the consequence of the sin. That's not the case all the time, praise God, because if that was the case, we'd all be up in ICU somewhere. But in this particular case, Jesus says to the man, your sins are forgiven you. Take up your bed and go on home. I had a question that it dawned on me, because when I was studying this text in chapter 10, it immediately took me to chapter 9. But then when I got in chapter 9, I was wondering, how in the world did the friends know to bring the friend to Jesus? And I was trying to get real deep, Dr. Candace, I was really trying to get real deep, but then it really dawned on me that they were able to do it because they read chapter 8. Because in chapter 8, you will discover in chapter 8, this isn't the first time that Jesus then raised up somebody off their back. In chapter 8, the third verse, he dealt with somebody who had leprosy. And that was something nobody ever got rid of. In verse 6, there was another paralyzed person, but Jesus raised him up. In verse 16 of chapter 8, he healed many. And then in verse 26, he calmed the storm. Third verse, he dealt with leprosy. Sixth verse, he dealt with paralysis. 16th verse, everything. And then the 26th verse, he dealt with the storm. All you see here is in chapter 8 he did it, and these folk heard about what he did in chapter 8, and even though they ain't been to Sunday school, these really aren't no real super religious folk, they just had sense enough to believe that if he could do it in chapter 8, he can do it in chapter 9. I'm trying to help somebody up in here. Quit trying to be all spiritual and just know that if he did it then, can he do it now? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. They brought their friend to Jesus because they heard what he did in chapter 8. Our issue, we just got to figure out which chapter we're in. But here's what I want to tell you. It really don't matter. But if you get to Jesus, he can and he will. He will make a difference. And when Jesus was touching people, healing people, lifting people, folks started celebrating. Have I got a witness here? And there is a time where everybody ought to celebrate. If you've been locked out and now you've been brought in, that's a good time. to celebrate. If you're down, you were down, but now God has lifted you up. That's a time to celebrate. But I want to warn you, because celebration has a way of exposing critical people. I'm going to say it again. When you start celebrating the goodness of God and the favor of God in your life, don't be surprised if you don't discover there are some critics that are not as excited about your deliverance as you are. But here's what I want to help you. Don't let them stop you from giving God the glory. You know, I said, you know that he deserves. They're celebrating has a way. Celebrating Jesus has a way of exposing critics. When Jesus told the story of the prodigal, remember, the other brother was all right until the father threw a party for the brother who had came home. And when the father threw the party for the brother who had repented of his sin and came home, the big brother, he got critical. The teachers of the law, they were all right as long as the man was on his back. But when Jesus said, "Your sins have been forgiven, it's a brand new day," they became critical. Judas, he wasn't bothering nobody until that woman came and broke open that alabaster box and poured all of that Chanel number 5 on Jesus' feet. He about lost his mind because the woman was celebrating the forgiveness that she had. But that celebration expose critics, and people will become critical. But here's what's so funny. I find that critical people seem to already have what you're trying to get. Why is it that if you've got something, why is it you're going to be critical because somebody else is now being blessed? I don't understand that, but in our text today, there are some people who have become critical, because not only did Jesus bless folk in chapter 8, he blessed some folk in chapter 9. He raised up that man who was paralyzed. He dealt with the dead daughter and gave the daughter back to her father. He dealt with the sister who had an issue of blood for a long time. There were some other people that he raised, that he blessed, and that he delivered. There were some blind folk following Jesus, and Jesus healed them and gave the mute individual the ability to talk. And in the midst of all of that, when you get to 9:34, chapter 9, verse 34, some Pharisees said, "Well, he did it because he's the prince of Beelzebub." What he was really saying was, he's not really from God. He healed that person from the power of the devil. Here's another critic. Here's somebody condemning Jesus because Jesus has made a way. And it's as if Jesus didn't even pay them no mind, because at the end of the chapter, what you see Jesus doing, Jesus looks out. It's as if he didn't even hear them. And they bring this up again later on in ministry. But Jesus looks out and he sees that the harvest is still there. There's still a whole lot of other folk that need to be taught, other folk that need to be blessed, other folk that need to be brought in, other people that need to be saved. And Jesus said at the end of chapter 9, the harvest is plenteous, but the problem is the laborers are few. He did not let the comments of the critics stop him. It's almost as if Jesus was saying, if you think that's something, just wait till you see what I'm getting ready to do in just a minute. Y'all were upset because I did it. You really gonna bust a gasket when I start using these folk to do it. And when we get to chapter 10, he calls calls his disciples. Praise God. He calls this motley crew that's trying to follow Jesus. He calls these disciples that's just 2 minutes from being a thug. He calls these individuals that are rising and falling, stumbling as they follow Jesus. He calls them. And then he couples them, he connects them together as teams. Watch how he does it. Some of them he connects as family. You got James and John, Peter and Andrew, James and John. They were brothers. Some he connects because they're friends. Some he connects, they're complete strangers. I like this. Because when you see him preparing to release these individuals to do ministry, sometimes he does it by giving you a family member as a partner. Sometimes he does it by connecting you with a close friend as a partner. And then sometimes he'll just pick somebody you don't know, but he'll be the common denominator. Have I got a witness here? Because you don't have to know everybody to do ministry with them. As long as both of y'all know and love Jesus, you ought to be able to do some ministry together. He connects them as a team, and then he commissions them. He tells them specifically where to go, where not to go. He tells them what to take, what not to take. He tells them, don't take no clothes. Don't take a change of clothes. Don't take an extra pair of sandals. Don't take any money, any silver. He says, I want you to go just as you are. Where are we going? He said, you're going to Israel, the lost children of Israel. It's an interesting commission because in Matthew chapter 10, he sends these disciples out specifically, first of all, to Israel, because he wants to make sure that y'all got another chance. But then when it comes to Matthew chapter 28, he sends the church out to everybody. Specifically in chapter 10, he says, I want to make sure that the children of Israel are without excuse. I want to make sure that they know. Now watch what he gives them. He says, all I need you to take is a sermon and a sign. You're going to take a sermon, and your sermon is this: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to let you do some of the stuff that I did so that everybody will know you are from me. I'll say it again. No, don't take no money. Don't try to take a whole bunch of change of garments. I'm going to send you out with a sermon and a sign. Tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and then show them what I can do. Now, y'all, here we are today. I don't have the gift of healing. I wish I did. I could go to the hospitals and we could wipe out the place if I had it. If we had it, we could do some amazing things. But in a real sense, there are still people that are dead in their sins. And we have a sermon and we have a sign. We got people that are broken. And what do we have? We got a sermon and we got a sign. We've got people that are locked in, got strongholds and addictions. What do we have? Same thing, sermon and a sign. I know you're saying, well, Pastor, you know I ain't been called to preach. You might not be called to preach, but your life ought to be a sermon every day. Have I got a witness here? We are a sermon and a sign. If you can't say it with words, show it through your actions. If anybody needs to know what he can do, I'm a witness. If anybody needs to know, can he pick you up? I'm a witness. If anybody want to know, can he break strongholds? Here I am. I'm a witness. I'm just a sign of what he can do. Katie, bless you. Katie, make a way. Katie, open doors. You got a sermon and a sign. And you ought to be both of them. You ought to be both of them. He calls them. He commissions them. And then when we finally get to the 16th verse, he says, but I'm going to explain to you, it's not going to be a comfortable climate. I'm so grateful that the Lord is kind enough to give us a little insight on the fact that he's sending us out as sheep among wolves. Therefore, he says, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. I need to explain the climate. There will be some dangerous situations. Let me say it again. There will be some dangerous situations. There can be some dangerous circumstances. Did I tell you I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves? Jesus, can I ask you a question? Why would you send us out as sheep knowing? Because you know two things. You know we sheep, and you know they're wolves. Why would you send us out in vulnerable circumstances, situations, when you know sheep are the favorite menu of wolves? You ask a good question. Because you need to also know that you're the sheep, but I'm the shepherd. And I need you to know that you're a sheep and you can't make it on your own around a whole bunch of wolves without a good shepherd. But not only am I your shepherd, I'm your savior. But if you don't get all of that, you need to also know that I'm sovereign. God is powerful enough. He's strong enough. He's wise enough to keep us in the midst of wolves. Have I got a witness here? He can protect you even in dangerous circumstances and situations. And I know what you're saying. Pastor, no, I don't know about that. What about we've been watching people get killed. We've been watching people shot in the back. We've been watching people getting murdered right before our eyes. You said he can keep you. I did. You said he's the shepherd. He is. You said he's sovereign. Absolutely. Now, I'm going to tell you something I can't explain. God is God. And there's some things about God that I really don't understand. There's some things about God that I can't always explain. But here's what I know. Because he's God, God wants me to trust him, even when it looks like things are working against us. Here's what Paul said. Paul had a death sentence, and Paul understood this. God, you're able to deliver me. Have I got a witness here? And he told his accusers, I would rather be here preaching the gospel. To be here preaching the gospel, that's good. But to be with the Father, that's good. So the truth is, whatever God decides, if you let me live, I'm going to preach because I've got a sermon and I'm a sign. And if you take my life, that's all right too, because I'll be with him however the Father decides, because I place my faith in Jesus Christ however he decides. If he wants to keep me, hallelujah. But if he wants to take me, hallelujah. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But I'm sending you out, which means I need you to trust me even in difficult circumstances and situations. Here's what I need you to do. Be wise as serpents. Now, y'all, you know the Lord gave me a farm, and I asked the guy when I was buying the farm, I said, are there any snakes on this farm? And he laughed at me and he looked at me But he saw how serious I was, because I can't stand snakes. I hate snakes. And he told the truth. He said, well, I hate snakes too. But here's the truth. Snakes hate us as much as we hate them. And a smart snake is smart enough to stay out of the way. Don't miss it. A smart snake, he's there, but he got sense enough to stay out of the way. I'm trying to help somebody up in here. A wise serpent knows how to see danger coming, and he'll stay out of the way. He'll know how to avoid circumstances when he can. But here's the other side. If he can't get away from it, he'll do his best to deal with it. I'm going to try to stay out of the way if I can. But if I can't, I'm going to die trying to deal with it. I'm going to try to deal with it. Be wise as serpents. But then he says, but be harmless as doves. Isn't it amazing how Jesus, he was threatened over and over and over, but you never see Jesus threatening nobody. Jesus, people were always trying to push him and punk him, but Jesus was always staying true to the word and to the will and to the will of God. There were people that were trying to get Jesus to help them hurt people, and Jesus would find a way to stay true, bring peace, love to the situation. You remember when that sister was caught, the Bible says, in the very act of adultery, and they drug her and threw her at Jesus' feet, and they quoted the law. They said, the law says that she ought to be stoned. And Jesus, because his disposition is that of a dove, he knelt down in the dirt and wrote something. Don't know what he wrote. But then he looked up and said, those of you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And before all was said and done, everybody had to leave, from the youngest to the oldest. And then Jesus looked at her as a dove and brought peace in her life, comfort in her life, salvation in her life. You remember the question he asked Dwight? He said to her, where are your accusers? She said, I don't see none, Lord. And he said to her, neither do I accuse thee. Go thy way and sin no more. You remember the tension that was in the Garden of Gethsemane when Judas and all those soldiers showed up. And Peter pulled out his knife because he said, I'm not going down like this. And he cut off that soldier's ear. But Jesus de-escalated the situation. Didn't he take control? And because he has the heart of a dove, Jesus reached down, grabbed the man's ear, and put it back on his head. Because Jesus is saying, before I can teach you, I got to show you how to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Over and over again, Jesus understood. Jesus knew how to step into a situation and bring peace, and bring love, and bring comfort. And many of our forefathers and leaders understood, we're not trying to, this is not about political power. This is not about turning over the government. This is about changing a heart, one heart at a time. This is about winning a life, one life at a time. One soul at a time. And in the 16th verse, Jesus says, I'm going to send you out. I've told you where to go. I've showed you what to do. And I want you to be wise. And I want you to be harmless. And then later on, he explained to them, you will be. Some will hate you on my account. But you know, I'm thankful to God. Jesus has a big account. You see, the truth is, if folk gonna hate me because of Jesus, Jesus explained, don't worry about it, because God is watching, and God will reward you for the love, for the service that you render. He shows them in a mighty way. We watched him do it. He did it himself. They did it together. And then finally, Jesus released them to go and serve on their own. And so Jesus, in a time like this, is using all of us. He's commissioning all of us to go forth and to spread that good gospel. And folk will believe it. They'll believe it. They'll believe it because we have a sermon and we are a sign. We are both of them. I'm a sermon. I've got my own story to tell, how the Lord changed my life. I've got my own sign. I'm a witness of what God can do. The truth is, you see me where I am, but the truth is, you should have seen me where I was. And that's everybody's story. If I could just give you a glimpse of where I was and you see where I am, you'll understand that it was Christ that stepped in the crisis and I turned it over to him, and now my life has never been the same. That's the same story we tell. That's the same story that we preach. And if you lift up Jesus, the Bible says, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. If you lift up Jesus Christ, Jesus himself will do the drawing, and lives will be changed. Somebody looking at me right now, I share with you that it begins with Jesus Christ. God loves us so much that he gave his only son, and he wants everybody to be a part of his family. We can't do that because our sins have separated us from God. But through Jesus Christ, Jesus paid the penalty for all of our sins. And everyone and anyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ, believing that he died for our sins and God raised them from the dead, you can begin a life with Jesus Christ today. It begins today, a decision today. A decision to give your life to Christ, to trust him as Lord and Savior. It can begin today, but it'll last a lifetime. My prayer for you is that if you've never trusted him as your Savior, I invite you to pray this prayer. Jesus. Pastor, yes, I want to be saved. I want to be a child of God. Here you go. Heavenly Father, I'm taking Pastor Rasko at his word. All of us have sinned, and I'm one of them. But I trust you, and I believe your word. Believe that you died for my sins, and you were raised from the dead. I open my heart and invite you to come in today. Save me and make me one of your children. If you pray that prayer, God will do just what you ask him to do. He'll come into your heart, and you will begin to grow as a child of God. I want to encourage you. Let us know if you prayed to receive Jesus Christ today. We would love to connect you with our church family. Love to get you involved and engaged so that you can connect others and begin your walk in the Lord. Bible says that we ought to study to show ourselves approved. That we ought to grow in his grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We take seriously the responsibility of helping you to grow in the Lord. Welcome to the family of God. We thank you. We pray for you. And we want to see you grow in his grace. Amen. We thank God for you. Hey, family, let me share with you. It is exciting. It is exciting times here at Nazarene. I do want to share with you that we have targeted the first Sunday of August as our day to return. And we're looking forward to that. We've got a number of activities that are going on around here. You'll see some construction. Prayerfully, we'll have most of it done. We're going to be doing some painting, and there's some floors going in, and building a new sound and media booth for our technicians. And so the Lord has been good, and you have been faithful. So thank you for your faithfulness. Again, many of you, you're giving through PayPal and Givelify. Some of you are bringing your offerings even by the church, and so we thank you for that. We have not missed a beat. We thank God. You have been faithful, a faithful congregation. We love you, and we thank God for you. Do want to encourage you, if you know of any particular needs that we can meet among the family members, please don't hesitate to make us aware of those things. We do want to lift in prayer today. The Wagner family, please remember them in prayer. We also want to lift up Sister Karen and her family in the loss of her brother. And we want to continue to pray for those who have lost loved ones, and that we will come alongside and be Christ to them and share love and grace and favor. Junior, any other announcements that I might be missing? One of our dear friends, sister, I call her Aunt Hattie, and she's one of our friends in Mississippi. Please pray for her. Her husband is in ICU, and we want to remember them in prayer. Charlie and Betty Hunter has a nephew who's recovering from open heart surgery. Want to remember them as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I want to say thank you. Thank you again for your people that continue to serve you in the midst of all that we're going through. You truly are preparing us and even using us, even at a higher level, to reach more people for you. God, we realize that there's a lot of people that are facing different issues, but we believe that you're a Christ for the crisis, and we pray that you would continue to use us and commission us, that we'll know how to serve you by serving others. May your favor, may your grace be upon your people. Bless us to be a blessing. Move in this community that hearts may be healed, comforted, and strengthened. Thank you again for all that you're doing. God, I pray your safety, even blessings upon all of the work and strategies that are going on as we prepare to meet again on the first Sunday in August. We're excited about that. We're trusting that you'll bring it to pass. Now bless your people wherever they are, in Jesus' name, amen.